Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Guilty Movie Pleasures. In-depth discussion on movies, no matter how guilty they make you feel.
All right, Schmoville, coming in hot. Here we go. Now, you might wonder why we're playing the Blades of Steel anthem here, okay? But you'll know as soon as we get to the part. This is all.
Just wait for it?
Yeah, I'm wearing this shirt because... There it is!
Yeah!
Face off! All right, so before we get into it, you guys may notice this handsome gentleman to my left. He is the new co-host of the Guilty Movie Pleasure Show. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Begley.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? I'm very happy to be here. That was a super sexy intro, by the way. Popcorn Movie Talk.
So, Ben, we're introducing you kind of to Schmo. You've been on the main show before. And I
remember the comment I made when I went on the main show was, wow, you guys are slumming it this week. Because you guys have like Andy Serkis, and then it was like, and our special guest this week, Ben Begley, and everybody's like, who?
Yeah, but if you watch television, which I would imagine everybody who watches this show does, you've seen Ben before. He's Daniels in Accounts on a Nissan commercial.
I love that you know the name.
Yeah, Daniels in Accounts.
That's a good friend when you know my name in a commercial.
Most recently, I saw you in Burger King, Geico.
There was another Buick one.
Buick.
Burger King, Geico, Buick.
Buick. Got
I knew it was one of those car fast food insurance
you're
things.
You're on a roof getting struck by lightning.
That was Burger King. Yeah,
that was Burger King. So, and I was at his wedding recently, married, and also informed me before the show. I knew he owned a lot of DVDs and Blu-rays, but over 3,000.
Now, don't give out my address. I don't want some rabid, somebody who's like, Blockbuster closed down. I need my DVDs, and they come rob my place.
Yeah, we don't want that to happen. But if you guys need a renter, a loan out of a Blu-ray or DVD, more than likely Ben Begley has it.
Think about it. If Netflix or any of those go down, their servers go down. What are you going to do? Are you going to go to the library and rent, or are you going to come to Ben Begley's video store?
The Ben Begley house?
I got some weird stuff in my collection. There's like at least 400 just dedicated to crazy Asian films, like Japanese, Korean, like genre-bending weird stuff.
Speaking of Asian awesome movies.
Yeah, hey, that was an organic segue.
Hell yeah. Today we are talking Face Off. A lot of the fans have been recommending this since the inception of the show. John Woo directed it.
Mm-hmm.
JTE loves John Woo so much. He just walked away from the studio. We don't have an engineer currently. I wanted him to chime in on the microphone to talk about John Woo, but he just left.
That's all right.
In classic JTE timing fashion, the man cannot pronounce words correctly, nor does he have good
comedic timing. Oh, he's back.
Oh, he's back. Okay. He's good. He's here. There he is. JTE, I'll give you 60 seconds starting right now to talk about your love with John Woo.
Flying Doves, Bullets, Slow Motion, Somewhere Over the Rainbow,
ooh.
John Woo, Nicolas Cage, John Travolta, all equal the greatest action movie of the 90s. I saw it in theaters 3 times.
Okay.
I made my uncle take me to see it. I made my dad. I made my mom all separately because no my family wants to watch a movie more than once in the theater. So I had to get other people to take me. And it kind of grew my love for John Woo, which I just became a total geek boy about, and like literally ordered movies from China.
Oh, yeah.
The only way to get them.
Same thing.
The only way to get them was to order them from China. So take 3 weeks. You get a VHS that has, it's all in Chinese. The subtitles are
but
horrible.
But the action's awesome.
Yeah, the subtitles are horrible. The picture quality was horrible, but I love
action
the
is an international language, JT. Yeah. Gunfights.
Bullets don't know boundaries of language.
Music and action scenes are an international
slow-mo
language.
You can do that in any language.
Now, JT, would you be really like starstruck if you met John Woo? Like, what would be the first thing you
because
would
surprise,
ask John Woo?
We have him right here. Just kidding.
I would.
The entire audience was like, really?
Oh, Woo's here?
John Woo?
He's not. One thing, if you watch a lot of interviews with John Woo, he's not great at English.
Oh, okay.
Neither are you, so that's
perfect.
So it would work perfectly awesome. We'd need an interpreter. But I would just want to talk about, whenever I meet a director, I want to talk about the early work.
Okay.
The stuff that's, you know, harder to find out.
Like,
I've read some books about John Woo, so I know some of the behind the stories of, like, Bear Tomorrow and his producing partner, Terrence Chang, I believe his name is.
Okay.
And I would just love to hear some of the old school stories, like working with Jackie Chan and Chow Yun-fat and stuff like that.
What is your favorite John Woo movie?
Man, Overall, I might go with The Killer.
I love The Killer. But I think Hard Boiled's my favorite.
Here's the thing.
Hard Boiled has a 30-minute shootout in a hospital at the end. It's unbelievable.
But
I still haven't seen this movie. We're going to watch it after the main show on Thursday. I'm so excited.
The Killer's great. It just has it dips into melodrama a little bit, which I love. I still love the movie, but Hard Boiled is like just balls to the wall insane the whole movie.
I totally agree, but the reason why I give it to The Killer is because I was a little more emotionally invested.
I can see that. Yeah.
Which is the only reason. But I agree with you. Hard Boiled is the better action movie.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
And you know me. See, I'm just a sucker for action movies. Yeah. I don't care. Like I love anything action. I'm enthralled like a kid. You know, first time with ice cream. Just guns, death, swords. I just want weapons.
My wife can't stand it. She just like she watched a little bit of this with me last night, and she just kept going, "Really?" And I was like, "All right, hey." You go read your Jane Green book in the back. I don't know why I turned into like Archie Bunker or something.
I saw this. I didn't go to the theater to see this. Did you go to the theater?
I actually had to lie to my parents and say I was going to see something PG-13 because
it's R.
I mean, 97. I was 15, but I was raised kind
of the same age.
Yeah. I was raised kind of more conservatively with like violence and sex and in movies
in the doldrums of Ohio.
Yeah, in the doldrums of Ohio. Yeah, exactly. That's actually the city I live in, Doldrum, Ohio. I remember lying to my parents and being like. I'm going to go see, I forget what, Speed 2, Cruise Control.
Cruise Control, good.
And then
good
I went
flick.
And saw Face Off instead. And then they were like, oh, so how is Speed? I was like,
they're on a boat!
And it's just a lot of stuff on a boat.
I know I didn't see this in the theater. I'll be honest. My family was a huge Rent family. Like, we rented tons of movies. We weren't a huge go-into-the-movie kind of family. It had to be like a really special movie for us to go to the theater for whatever reason.
But you didn't even go on like holidays? Like
No.
Really?
Holidays, family time.
Oh, we went on holidays, and not to do a little sidebar here, but one of the worst holiday movies we ever went to, we also went and saw My Girl. Holy shit, man. That's the most depressing movie.
That's not a holiday movie.
No. We're like, oh, Macaulay Culkin, Home Alone kid. And then it's like,
he dies,
and the girl has all these... And
Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen My Girl, Macaulay Culkin.
We all left crying. Anyways,
I remember seeing this for the first time I saw this. I bring his name up on the show all the time, but he was one of my best buds, still is. Max Young, his family always had movies, and he comes to school and he's like, Cooks, there's this movie called Face Off with Nick Cage and Jennifer Lopez. Like, yeah, I've seen things. Like, it's perfect. It's perfect.
So
we watched it like 3 times in 2 days at his ski cabin. It was unbelievable. And this movie, listen, there's obviously some fantastic plot holes that will go.
You could fall. It's the Grand Canyon of plot holes.
Oh, without a doubt. And you said it perfectly via text to me. You're like, we could do Face Off. Though the action still holds up, still just a very silly premise, as you said, a very silly thing. Because this movie takes place in 97, so they have this technology kind of set up.
Yeah.
And,
which, by the way, all their high-tech technology looks like Oregon Trail with just, like, pictures. Because it's like, like, they're able to put pictures in there, but it's still, like, the font of Oregon Trail.
It's really, like, 8-bit digitized.
I love 90s vision of the future so much.
It's perfect.
Or technology.
You know, but this movie, the reason why it's a guilty pleasure, and a lot of people on the Facebook page and on Twitter is like, Face Off is not a guilty movie pleasure. JTE said in the car, if this is a guilty, lock me up. Listen, guys, you can't take another man's face and put it on your face, okay?
Yeah.
Kids out there, if you're thinking about doing this, like you and your buddies got together, you watch Face Off, you're like, let's take each other's faces. That just doesn't work. Okay?
I would battle that this is the ultimate guilty movie pleasure but I think there's a stigma with guilty movie. Just because it's a guilty movie pleasure doesn't mean it's not awesome.
No, I agree.
This movie is awesome. It's one of my favorite action films, but it's completely, completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, the acting choices, looking at it now, it's like, when that came out, that was before Travolta or Cage went completely Cage and Travolta.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, batshit
crazy. It's like, this is the beginning of when Cage was just like, really? I can just show up and do whatever I want and they'll put it out in theaters?
And you gotta, like, right when this movie came out, too, is like a golden age of action, like 90s
the
action
Rock.
Film.
Yeah. Jerry Bruckheimer and Michael Bay were on fire at that time with all their...
JT told me on in the car right over here, also on the IMDb trivia, that this was originally supposed to be Arnold Schwarzenegger and Stallone. Were supposed to be the...
Wow.
Now...
Oh, my God. That would have been a totally different movie.
Well, 100%. I mean... way more tongue in cheek too. But also, have you ever seen Schwarzenegger and Stallone? They're two very different human beings.
Well, in Escape Plan, did you see him in Escape Plan, the movie with the where the two of them escape?
Escape Plan. Oh, that was most recent. That was,
yeah, nobody saw it but me.
No. Of course you did.
I saw it.
You own both.
I do own it. I do. I bought the DVD combo pack so I could give my father-in-law the DVD. Anyways, I'm a good son-in-law.
So it was supposed to be Schwarzenegger, but you can't, like, Travolta and Cage's faces sort of looked a decent, you know, like, you could.
Yeah, how would you make up for the body height, type and height and everything?
Schwarzenegger is giant. Stallone is a small man, yet ripped. He's small. I'm sorry, JT. I know I'm insulting your hero. I apologize, but.
Comparatively speaking, he's correct. Smaller statured than Schwarzenegger. Yeah. I don't think anybody would
again. I mean,
argue
in
that.
The beauty of Hollywood, they're like, we're going to add 19 inches to you. We have this new that is like eventually just throw in processes like this new heightening fucking process. I don't know.
But what's best about the science of this is that it's like we're going to remove your face. And then we're going to put your face on your and attach it to your muscles, and then there's a microchip for your voice box, and then we'll put hair plugs in to and trim off your body fat like laser liposuction. But then they never account for, like, and this is going to get a little graphic, but, like, he has sex with John Travolta's wife. They don't account for penis size, so, like, what if, like, and one is, like, unless they just happen to luck out that they're both the exact same penis, like, just, hey... Just like
carbon copy
penis.
We really didn't get into penis stuff. That's really your. And the other thing, I
call me crazy, but they should have addressed that. And don't worry, we know. I mean, just like that, think about how hilarious that would have been if the doctor's looking at Sean, being like, "And don't worry, we know you're a little more, so we'll take care of that." And it's just like, and the audience is like, "Oh, I get it. Okay,
yeah."
And otherwise, the wife is just too distracted. She's too distracted by all the candles. I thought the house was going to light on fire. There's so many candles.
Lots of
candles.
There's
one just going up. Like, I hope they didn't put hairspray in Joan Allen's hair that day, because it's just like...
She does have some good curls, that Joan Allen.
She does.
The other thing I was thinking is, okay, so Castor Troy obviously becomes John Travolta.
Sean Archer. Yes.
So he goes home, and he's like, Papa's got a brand new bag. He's smoking smokes.
Super creepy eyeing his daughter, by the way.
Creepy.
Which, even though you know that's not him, it's still John Travolta playing. So you're still like, ugh. Mm-hmm. Gross.
And so if you're a wife and your husband comes home, not only different penis sizes, okay,
but feasibly, we don't know. They could have had identical penises.
Okay. He kisses differently.
Yeah, like everything.
Like when he mouth raped the woman on the plane with the peach.
By the way, that's one of my favorite lines ever. I we should maybe back up to that, I guess.
Well, we're hitting plot holes here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Yeah. So basically, we can start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. It's
creepy stash. Creepy stash.
Nicolas Cage stash.
Super close up of drinking out of the soda. I'm going to kill somebody on a carousel.
Yes, JT.
Just want to throw in a little tidbit there. His character was dressed as a homage to Chai Yun-fat's character in The Killer. During the assassination scene, he also had the mustache.
And did he also take a really slow drag of a big gulp?
I don't believe so.
Big gulps, huh? All right. He's got the stash, and then he kills the son trying to kill Travolta.
Yeah, it starts really dark silly movie. Yeah. You're just like, oh! We're starting this way.
The kid's five. He's dead.
Kid's head's blown off on a Griffith Park carousel.
So then, smash cut 6 years later.
Yeah.
Hey, JT, turn off your mic real quick, because we're hearing that lawnmower in the back. No?
That's...
I hear it, too. My mic's not on, though.
What is... Who's mowing the lawn?
They're mowing the studio next door. They have just like a, you know, fake grass in the studio next door.
We'll try to ignore that.
Yeah, whatever.
Now. Hey, we still have an intro that I don't like, so we'll just wing the old this. Anyway, so then it cuts 6 years later.
Mm-hmm. And John Travolta just sitting there pensively looking out.
Like, for all intents and purposes, Sean Archer is a dick.
Yeah.
He's not a nice guy.
Yeah. He's not, he's super like, he's a terrible husband.
Awful.
He's very neglectful to
bad
his
daughter.
He's super terrible. Like, that's the other thing. Like, when I was writing down notes for this, there's not a single normal scene in this movie.
No.
There's not a single, like, just normal scene. There's like, in the beginning.
What would you call a normal scene?
Well, like, even when he goes home, or for instance, like, let's start off with when he's in the FBI thing and all that. They have this just wedge of exposition in there where he's like, because we work for such a covert operation that's so secret that nobody even knows we fucking exist. And it's like,
cut, we got that part.
Exposition, all right, everybody knows you guys are secret.
Yeah.
But then, like, the daughter and mother's, or the daughter and mother scene when he comes home, that plays out sort of like a normal family scene. And then the daughter turns around with the most cartoonishly drawn on,
like, from, Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, she has, like, Droog eyeliner on. Yeah. And it's like, so this was almost a normal scene. And then you have this extreme choice of, no wonder she's being made fun of at school. She looks like...
she looks like an anime doll.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible. Okay, on the telephone right now, we have Cody Hall, Agent Cody Banks, the man, the myth, the legend, the man that runs our Facebook, the man that runs the Twitter. He's small. He can fit into a size zero female dress. He is a very lovely individual. Ladies and gentlemen, Cody Hall, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you for that flattering intro. Wow.
Each week, Cody,
so nice
I'm just going to give you
a female. That's great.
Each week, I'm going to give you more better intros.
More better.
More great, better. Ben, this is your first time talking to Cody.
Yeah.
So...
Hey, Cody.
Hey, what's up, man?
How's it going? I feel like this could be a two-parter. We've only scratched the first 15 minutes of Face Off so far,
and we're crushing it. Cody, you're a fan of this movie, obviously.
Absolutely, dude. Yeah, this is incredible.
Give me your favorite part.
Favorite part? It's got to be when they meet each other in the prison for the first time. And
yeah.
Like, hey, good looking, or something like that.
Ooh, wee, you good looking. You hot.
Yeah, yeah.
That is pretty awesome. I'll give you that. When did you see this in the theater? No.
Oh, no, dude. I was like five when this
Oh, started. Yeah, you're really young.
Oh, you're way young. Oh, okay. Yeah. As I had the gray
like
in my...
years ago, then I finally watched it again, like, all the way recently.
Oh, man. It's so good.
Well, in that scene that you mentioned, Cody, it's super weird when he's like... John Travolta licks Nicolas Cage's face in the end of that,
yeah.
And then there's the greatest... strangle / screaming moment ever.
Well, we have that sound clip coming up here pretty soon.
Spoiler alert.
No,
sorry,
all
guys.
We got some sound clips. So, Cody, if you were going to... Is this your favorite John Travolta movie or Nicolas Cage movie?
It's my favorite Nick Cage performance, I gotta say.
Ooh. It is.
Yeah, I really do. I think
who do you think...
out of the park.
This is just kind of a meta question. Who do you think gives a better performance, Travolta or Cage? Like, Cage as Travolta or Travolta as Cage?
Oh, man.
I think Travolta nails the Nick Cage aspect down pretty good.
I think
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I think Cage just goes off the map crazy. I don't think Cage...
Yeah.
I don't think Cage... Because I think Cage is all... You got to... Cage is doing what Travolta... He's not doing a Travolta. He's doing what Travolta would think Cage is. So he's like a dude playing
hat
a dude disguised
a
as another dude. You know, like, he's
yeah.
He's literally, like... So he's trying to play two different, like, levels of a... Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense.
I never thought of that until now.
Yeah.
So then in that sense, maybe Cage does a better John Travolta doing a Nick Cage?
So
my mind's going to explode.
Right,
yeah, everybody's very confused. JT, you want to weigh in on here?
That makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it does.
Okay,
I kind of got to give it to Cage just because, although he starts crazy, he kind of brings it down a really emotional level when he's playing Archer, because he has the heavier scenes as Archer.
Yeah,
yeah.
He has the scene with the wife. He has, you know, he goes through the more emotional. Travolta doesn't really get a chance because he's in crazy Caster Troy mode most of the thing.
Yeah, that's
so I'll
true.
Give a better performance to Nicolas Cage.
Okay,
and Travolta has these weird, like, when they defuse the bomb, and he's like, if he's out there, interception, we got the ball, our side got the ball, sorry. And he does, like, this weird Jim Carrey
oh,
thing.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
So bizarre.
Travolta, again,
sorry.
I've never, like... He's in a lot of movies and he's had some famous roles, I guess, but I've never been like, man, I can't wait to see a John Travolta movie.
No, yeah, I mean, I hate to say that too.
Right? Cody, are you on board with
that? Hopefully we
don't
get attacked.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
I mean, Pulp Fiction, he's fantastic, but other than that, it's just like a whole bunch, and now he looks like Eddie Munster.
Yeah, and lately I'm just like, oh, I can't wait to see what weird facial hair John Travolta's gonna choose. Like, in Swordfish, he had, like, a triangle, or, like, a
saber.
Line, I think.
Yeah, oh, man. And, I mean, he basically ruined his career by mispronouncing Idina Menzel's name. I mean, the most outrageous... I should have got that sound clip, but I didn't get
Adele
it. JT, do you think you
Dazeem
could rip that sound clip before the show ends? Yes, he's on it. All right.
Adele,
hey, Cody, thanks
Dazeem
for calling in, buddy. We love you, and we'll next week, we're not sure what we're going to do, but we'll talk to you, bud.
Oh, sure. Thank you.
Nice to phone meet you, Cody.
Yeah, you too, man.
Phone meet.
Phone,
where were we? I think we were at minute five.
We were at minute five, and we are 22 minutes into the show. We are absolutely crushing it. Okay, so let's just run through and we'll get to some sound clips. Basically, they captured Castor Troy in what is probably the greatest gunfight from an airplane, car. Like, that scene at the airport at the beginning, incredible.
Which, I love that they show him doing that slow motion jump out of the plane firing, but you never see them, you never see them land. Yeah, I could buy Castor could land gracefully, but his brother Pollux does it too.
No way.
And it's like, that guy broke his arm when he landed, and then he's just like, when he gets arrested, he does this little, like, bad ADR line, and he's kind of like, guys. He's so awesome with his pinky wave throughout the whole movie.
Yeah. So creepy.
Bye, bro.
So in what is definitely, I mean, okay, Bad Boys had a really fun airport scene.
Yeah.
Speed had a good airport explosion. But this far as gun battles, it's probably the best. And his two gold-plated guns, I was telling
those
JT.
Those are amazing.
I've been in probably like five gun stores in my whole life, and each one I've gone in is like, do you guys have the golden guns from Face Off? And he's like, no, we don't have those. Like, this
can
place
you make
blows.
Those?
Yeah. Do I have to special order those from John Woo's collection? He's got the back, double back holsters.
Have
you always just wanted to take guns out and just go like that?
Yeah, I used to, like, when I saw Face Off, when I used to watch action movies, I would run around my house pretending we were being robbed, and I'd be like, bah, 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 and I'd do slow motion, like, myself. Like, I'd slow myself down as if somebody's watching, and it was so entertaining, and my parents would always come home and be like, what the hell are you doing? You're way too old for this. I mean, I was like probably like in my teens.
Oh no, we used to jump from couch to couch doing the. Yeah, it's awesome. Oh yeah. Okay,
we're giant children.
Yeah,
whatever.
So they finally arrest Castor Troy.
Castor Troy. Remember, he gets. You think he's dead because he gets kicked in front of the plane engine
thing,
and then it looks like he accidentally. Somehow he gets kicked in front of it, and while he's getting blown around, he accidentally hits it so it goes harder.
Yeah.
Which is like, what are the chances of that happening? Where it's like, oh, I'm already here. Oh, shit. Boom. Oh, no, that's really bad. And
it's
then he
bad.
Just slams up against it. And that's the first part where you notice that the stunt doubles don't look anything like.
The hair is
way longer on Nick Cage.
Yeah.
So he hits the vent, and it's like a Beatles mop top flopping around. So anyways, now he's dead.
So now
they
find out that there's a bomb in LA. There's a bomb. He's gonna flatten LA. What's the line, JT? Something about smog or something?
Like, stay away from downtown. It's gonna be smoggy.
It's gonna give the biblical plague LA deserves.
Yeah.
That was an alright impression.
Cage. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Just one really quick thing that we forgot to mention is that how come this guy's a really wanted terrorist, right? Everybody, he's probably on the most wanted list, yet he's able to walk through the LA Convention Center with
a choir
singing to no one, apparently.
Yeah,
no one's listening to the choir.
Why is there a choir there?
Why is there a choir in the LA Convention Center just randomly singing, and why does he drop down and do the weird, and then run off and grab a young teenager's ass, and no one notices?
Not only does they don't notice, but the teenager doesn't, like, put up a fight. She's just supposed to be a choir girl
She's
singing
like,
Hallelujah Chorus.
Ooh.
And he's like, ooh, I'm going to stick my finger in your ass,
ooh,
crack.
Ooh, some creepy man in a priest outfit just grabbed my ass.
This part is awesome.
He had her at this.
Yeah,
like, for those of you that can't see what we're doing, we're giving ourselves
that mysterious
quiplash.
Man. Yeah.
But that's what I just wonder, why they're not like, hey, should we check security cameras if he's shown up or any weird behavior in LA? Well, there was this priest that did like a weird rock and roll dance and then groped a girl. Nah, probably nothing.
Not him. So he's in a coma, and they find out about this bomb, and they're like, we can't get him to talk. We're going to have to switch faces.
It's the only option.
It's the only option. So they're like, they explain through amazing exposition again that there's like, we have the technology now that you can recover in 8 hours after having facial surgery.
Anti-inflammatories, you recover in days instead of weeks.
And it's amazing. So they laser his face off. They leave Nicolas Cage without a face in a coma, and so...
And apparently, the John Travolta face is just really close by.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you... I would separate the two of them really far, just in case he woke up.
Sure.
Like he does.
Yeah.
You know, like, put it in another building.
No, here's a thought, okay? They only tell a couple people about his face off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Why not just tell everybody?
Yeah, what does it matter?
Like, he goes to this crazy maximum security prison where they have to wear ski boots that are magnets.
Yeah.
Okay,
why can't any of the wardens?
They're like, oh, this guy, like, hey, we got to treat him sort of differently. Like, we're going to beat him up. But all he needs to do is get to the brother to find out where the bomb is,
and he finds it out really quickly.
Really quickly, like,
and then
convention center. And he's like, you're an idiot. And I'm like,
and he's like, what do you mean,
yeah,
bro?
So he doesn't tell his wife. Nobody else at the bureau knows. I don't, and
like,
then,
I don't know why it had to be so top secret.
So conveniently, when Nicolas Cage obviously wakes up without a face, and his buddy, the guy from Braveheart and Sons of Anarchy,
yeah.
and then Nick Cassavetes, his other buddy,
yeah.
they show up and they're like, oh, get the doctor
and
out of
sleep. And he's smoking a cigarette with no face. I'm no doctor, but that's not healthy.
And I don't think you can have your skin exposed to
how
air.
Would you do that? How, you'd be like, you'd be like, you couldn't inhale. You don't have lips.
No. Yeah, you don't.
You go, this is the best cigarette I've ever had.
So then he's like, oh, well, I'll become Travolta, okay? And then
because that's the next logical thing to do.
Obviously. Yeah. And so then he lights the staff on fire because conveniently only three people knew about it. Andre Brower, again.
It's not Andre Brower.
It's not Andre Brower?
No, it's not.
It's not Andre Brower?
No, it's not.
I thought that was Andre Brower.
It's not. It's not Andre Brower.
Huh. Who is it? Let me look on the IMDb here.
Andre Brower. So, Viola Davis. No, it's not.
Are you sure?
No, it's not.
Well, it is Viola Davis, isn't
no,
it?
No, it's not. I just made that up.
Oh. Well, okay. Oh, it's CCH Pounder.
Yes, yeah.
Right?
And he does look similar. They're a similar type, for sure. They both played like cops back in the 90s.
This guy's name is Robert Wisdom. Man,
what a great name.
He looked like Andre Brower, kind
of. He does, kind of.
Yeah, and I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Anyway, that's besides the point.
It's a great show.
So then he lights them on fire, so now the only people that know. So now he's caught in the prison, and he's got to break his way out of what is supposed to be the world's most exclusive prison, where the exercise is just walking in a circle with your boots
with
on.
With
your boots on. And if you mess up, they magnetize you to the ground.
And then if you mess up really bad, they give you electric shock therapy, and you vomit on yourself,
yes.
like that guy that fights him.
Like the guy from The Wire.
Which is weird, because then in that scene where he's like, I didn't sleep with your wife. I know she's home and she loves you.
Yeah.
How about we get out of here? And then suddenly, because of the electroshock therapy, that registers, but no other speech does. He just says one word, out. Or like...
That was my first word as a kid, by the way. Out.
Out. Yeah. Out. Yeah. When he's shooting all the cops, and then Nick Cage comes and goes, no.
No.
Like it's... By the way, they shoot a lot of cops. And they're all like... Throughout this movie, they kill a lot of cops.
Something that could have been avoided had he told the prison staff.
Everybody.
Okay? So now he gets out of... Air One is the name of the prison, which is nowhere backwards, by the way.
Oh.
There you go. Little tidbit. JT, did you know that one?
I did not know that.
See? I win.
Air One.
Whatever. So then he gets out and he's like, ah, crap, I'm on an oil tanker. But in the background there is land, so he can swim, because nobody's going to chase him because he just killed seven freaks.
Yeah, they're like, ah, he's going to probably drown.
He's fine. He's the guy's an Olympic swimmer. So...
Finally, well, I mean, he did just kill half the staff, but we should just let him go.
Let's do it.
I don't know why I turned into Ron Burgundy with that.
Sorry.
It didn't make any sense.
No. So then he gets to he's back on land, and in the meantime, though, John Travolta as Nicolas Cage, being John Travolta, has got
I love that sentence.
Yeah. So he's gotten Pollux Troy
state's evidence.
State's evidence, so that they can now be best buds.
They defuse the bomb.
That plot line's out the window.
He sleeps with the wife.
He bangs Joan.
Like,
he's best
and
friends
he's
with
probably
the
a better lover and a better father.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean...
Listen, guys, if you are a parent out there and you're not smoking cigarettes with your kid, you're obviously not
you're
doing
obviously
it
not
right.
doing a good job.
So then now we're in, like, the John Woo apex of just, like, everything's going to be an action movie from here on out.
Yeah.
Cassavetes gets
story out of here.
Yeah. FBI, again. Okay. All of this...
Excuse me.
Movie hinges on the fact that he didn't tell anybody...
Yeah.
...that they were switching faces.
That there's some weird reason that needed to happen.
So... They get to so there's a shootout in Cassavetes' place, and he's trying to like tell his buddies that he's like, I'm not the guy. And I think that guy's in Cougar Town, one of the FBI guys, like the main guy that's kind of like handsome looking, like a good looking dude. I don't know. He's one of the guys in the. And then there's Margaret Cho,
yeah,
whose only action move is a karate move, as pointed out by JTE. And then there's a shoot. Cassavetes dies. Now his only buddies left are Sasha, the daughter.
That awesome where
he's spurting blood.
Gets shot in the neck and it spurts out.
Yeah.
So badass.
We've had some good times, haven't we?
We had some good times, man.
JTE, can we play it? We're going to go to the church scene, which is basically the end of the movie. We've gotten this far because from here on out, it's just action.
Yeah.
It's just awesome action.
I mean, the Somewhere Over the Rainbow scene is amazing.
Oh, yeah. With the kid
and the kid,
JT, play the clip with Sasha where he tells him
Sasha, what the fuck are you doing here?
So the classic Travolta as Cage being Travolta. And then what can you, what was the, oh no, we haven't gotten there yet. So now they're at the church cause, they're at the FBI director who Travolta killed as Cage, killed the FBI director. So now they're at the funeral and Sasha shows up to like protect Cage. And we find out that Cage is the dad of the son. So Gina Gershon and Cage were getting it on back in the day, 5 years ago. And it just so happens that the kid who is Cage's son looks a lot like...
Exactly like Michael.
Like Michael, who was killed
by
Cage.
He has that creepy scene where he's like, Michael. And she's like, you're scaring him, Caster. Yeah. Not like... She doesn't ask, like, hey, why are you calling our son Michael?
Yeah, it's weird that he would do that.
He's just like, Michael.
Again, I think something that was just overlooked in the script writing process.
What about also when he's like doing drugs and like he's looking at himself in the mirror and he's like...
Yeah.
And then she comes in and he doesn't break. He just goes.
And well, she's not. Drugs, Ben.
I know, but she's like, she's really okay with a lot of his weird behavior.
JT, what does he say when he's like, I'm going to rip his face?
Oh, yeah. He says, we're going to take his face off.
Yeah. He does.
His face off.
And Cassavet's like,
no more drugs for that, man. You know what? For the longest time.
I think I've heard that before from people. Like, no more drugs for this guy.
For the longest time, I wanted to do a face-off musical because I thought, like, Point Break Live. And I just had this idea for a song where it's like, we're going to take his face off. His what? His face off. No more drugs for that man. And then it would just take Bullet Ballet to the because the movie is called a Bullet Ballet with, just imagine that, like, like West Side Story with guns.
Oh,
but
that's a
better choreography. Now don't steal that, anybody in the audience, because I've been workshopping it for 20 years now. I started 2 years before the movie came out.
Now we get the introduction of doves everywhere. John Woo loves doves.
Loves them.
According to bogusfacts.com, which is a website I run, there was over 7 million doves used in this movie.
So I can see that.
They get in the shootout.
And
the
all
thing.
Of them were killed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every dove just murdered.
PETA hates the doves.
And John Woo doesn't care about PETA. Yeah. He hates it. So
that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Thank you for helping me make that joke make sense.
So now it's just gun battle. Now, okay, listen. I think to this day, this is the greatest boat chase scene ever made. Poor dude who's like, it's like, oh, I'm going to take my son fishing. Just lit up. He's like, oh, what's the day?
Oh, man.
Woo's just like racking up the body count one after the other. So now there's this awesome boat chase scene where he falls off the boat and he's getting drugged by a chain at like 90 miles an hour. Have you ever been water skiing?
Yeah.
It's really hard.
I've never been water skiing, but I've been in tubing, and that's hard enough for me to not fall out, let alone being on skis.
And you're only going like 30 miles an hour.
He's skiing in loafers.
It cuts away, and now he's holding on the chain, and he's literally water skiing on bare feet.
It's amazing. But the best part is whenever they cut to a wide, and it's the stuntman, like I said earlier, the hair is just blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
And it's almost like when they shot it, they forgot that Cage's stuntman, like they switched the stuntman on accident. And like,
it's called Face Off.
Travolta's stuntman has shorter hair and Cage's has longer. And you're like, guys, stuntman just like, I'll do this crazy boat trick, but I am not cutting my hair. Like, how did that happen?
Hair stays. Picture.
Boat trick.
So they almost get their head chopped off twice by a bridge. The boat goes into the scene. They have an awesome like knockdown drag out fight on the beach. He gets the harpoon gun and he shoots it, but Travolta as Cage grabs the gun, and this is my favorite. This is the best. He kicks him in the nuts and then shoots him with the harpoon gun and he screams, what was it, JT?
Which
could you do that just one more time for the kids at home?
That's the third time he does that in the movie. Because in the jail scene, he's strangling him, and he goes, die!
He does it in the prison
scene? He says it twice while he's strangling John Travolta in the exact same intonation. So it's like,
do you think they ADR'd it?
Yeah, and then just like they recorded it once, and then it was like, hey, that's really good. Just keep doing it. It's like that famous scream, the Wilhelm scream or whatever.
I don't know.
You know, it's a sound. You know,
oh, is it
JT,
like the
what is it?
Does it?
The super
it's the fans Wilhelm screen. Yeah, we call it. Yeah.
Okay, hey, JT. You know, like when you're at a like you're hunting with some friends and you finally shoot that animal. What do you scream? Yeah, see what I thought. My favorite video game from the 80s was a little video game called Skate or. I believe.
Hey, there was that really terrible sequel to Die Hard. It was Live Free or. hard?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Although I said die earlier. Yeah. Oh, well, whatever.
I believe I used to, back in the hippie days, they used to wear shirts that were tie-dyed. Yeah, did I go a little too far in that one? This is the most fun I've ever had.
I'm trying to think of more now. I would have had a list had I known.
JT, you got something for us?
Yeah, I'll never forget when I was watching Super Bowl and Davey Tyree made that catch against the Patriots. I basically screamed at the TV.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I believe in the movie Aspen Extreme, which is a great... as the avalanche is pouring down on Peter Berg...
In the X-Men, the arcade game,
ooh,
Magneto comes out and says, X-Men, prepare for... It's really broken English. Prepare for die.
Prepare for die.
It's amazing. Prepare for die.
If you guys want to Facebook message us or tweet us any of your ideas after the show, we're going to be calling this the Nicolas Cage Live Free or... I believe the last one I will say, give me liberty or give me death, but we're going to reprogram it into Colonial America's give me liberty or give me... There you go. That one is from my mom. She was a school teacher for 30 years. And again, if you guys... So then he kills him, and then the movie wraps up nicely at their house.
Yeah.
Because they adopt the kid.
Super convenient. And also, they do this weird thing in the family that we haven't touched upon yet, where they have this weird trait where they go... And this is like this thing they do where it's like... Everything about that is creepy and annoying.
I don't want people touching my face
ever.
Your
fingers, I don't know where your hand's been. It's going near my eyeballs, my nostrils, and my mouth. Every orifice, the
germs.
You're just like, I'm going to get you one way or another.
Well, we put on the hand sanitizer, a little Purell.
Now if they Purelled a little first, sure. But it's so weird. Like, and the kid isn't weirded out by that when they bring him in. They're like, this is your new home now. I'd be like, oh, shit. I was better off with the drug addicts. Here, come, welcome. Welcome to the Archer household.
Oh my god, it's amazing. Hey, JT, if somebody were to, put their hand down my face, I'd probably tell them to. There you go. Alrighty then. JTE, when
I'm just enjoying this. I can't even think of any.
So we're gonna go to another sound clip there. JTE, this movie is called... No. From Blade the Steel.
This movie's first off.
So whenever you guys are telling your friends that you're going to watch this movie, you have to pronounce it as
first off. But you have to make that sound first. Yeah. First off.
JT, I'll rip your
face off.
Thank you. There you go.
I love the delay on that. I'll rip your
There you go. So you guys are welcome. So again, one of the funnier things I think somebody wrote in the IMDb things is that a mother and a father have to co-sign when they adopt a kid. So Travolta was just like, screw it. We're adopting this kid. You don't have to sign for anything there, Joan.
I love that out of everything else in the movie, somebody was like, by the way, I know adoption laws, and that is not how it goes.
California law. Okay.
Also, can I say I love the way Travolta makes it okay with his wife is a little look as the kid is meeting the daughter.
He's like,
he gets a little like,
okay. Yeah. And she's like, got it.
Okay. Definitely.
Everything's okay. Yeah, this totally replaces our loss.
We'll get some Photoshop and put his face on the old Michael faces. All right. We're going to play a little game called Are You
Ooh.
Paying Attention?
Okay.
All right. We sometimes do this if I have the time to write these out. Okay. When they get Caster Troy for the first time, right, and he's dead, he goes in the office and people start applauding him, right? And he's like, what are we applauding for? We didn't do anything. Are we going to apply for da-da-da-da-da-da, and less off names of guys that have died. True or false?
Yeah.
One of the names said was Pincus.
Yes.
True.
I was going to say that before you even asked it, I was going to be like, one of the names is Pincus, which just sounds like they were like, just make up some names. And Travolta was like, Pincus?
Weirdly enough, I went to college with a kid named Jake Pincus. Swear to God.
There you go.
Okay, question two. The scene where the wife, where they show like her wedding ring. Does the wedding ring, is it a band or does it have diamonds?
It's a band.
It is a band. Yeah. Well done. Ben.
And the only reason I noticed that is because I bought a ring. Otherwise, I never would have noticed.
Okay.
Now that I'm married, I notice.
Question three. Where is Archer's training session that he goes on when they do... JT, wait. When they actually do a... There you go. Where is his training mission?
Oh, no. I know. They say it. They say, If he gets back from his training mission in, I don't remember.
JTE?
I'm not sure what scene exactly you're talking about.
I know what, I remember the line, I just don't.
They're like, oh, when Archer gets back, he's going to be so pissed. Man,
yeah, where is it, though?
Yeah, yeah.
He's sad he missed this. His training session is in, he's knee-deep in a Georgia swamp.
Ah!
There we go. Okay, candlelit dinner, when Travolta, as Cage as Travolta doing Travolta, when he comes home and he has the candlelit dinner, what type of vegetables are being served with the lobster?
Oh, man. Who? You're just trying to fuck with me now, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Sorry, that was the first F-bomb I did on this show. Oh, God. Yeah, I have no idea.
JT?
Broccoli?
Ah, no, it's artichokes. Artichokes. How? Artichokes are
I was too busy watching the candle behind her, almost lighting her on fire.
Okay.
I'm failing miserably.
Now, there's a scene where they steal keys to cars from a restaurant. For the car chase into the boat chase.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the restaurant?
Oh, I saw the sign last night too, because I remember being like, why does no one notice this convict sneaking up in his bare feet to a valet station? Yeah. That's some really shitty valets. damn it.
JT?
No idea.
Newmark's. The restaurant is called Newmark's.
See, you started off like easier, and now you're like, what is the name on the sign? But in out of focus.
God, listen, this is, are you paying attention? Okay. What type of pants does Pollux Troy wear? He's shown pants 3 or 4 times. It's not a brand name. It's an actual type of fabric. That's my hint.
They're khakis.
Corduroy?
Yes!
Damn it!
Corduroy, well done. Final question. The top-notch surgical team they're bringing in to redo the faces is from where? Where is that top-notch surgical team coming in from? JT.
It's from England?
No.
New York.
DC. They're coming in from DC, from headquarters in DC. Oh, man. How fun was this? Ben, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
To have you.
I'm excited to be here.
A lot of fun.
These are my favorite kind of movies.
We do them all the time. We're here every week, Tuesday, 1 p.m. PST. You guys can live stream it, podcast it, Popcorn Talk Network on YouTube. Leave us comments and, you know, subscribe and rate it on iTunes. Ben, this is your first show. We're again really, really happy to have you on the show.
I'm
really excited. Up until the Oscars, we're going to do a GMP each week that features an Oscar winner. So this week was Nicolas Cage. Next week, did we decide?
I don't know.
We're going to have to think about it.
I'm too nervous to just pull the trigger. I don't want to say something and then we cut and we're like, oh,
my recommendation. Was What a Girl Wants with Colin Firth.
Absolutely not.
But Ben doesn't want to watch that one, so we'll have to do it at an episode when he's not available to do it, because I love that movie.
I just like to get my feet wet with a few more action movies.
Got it. Perfect. We'll see you guys next week. Ben will be here. We'll release what movie we're going to do on the Facebook and on the tweets. JT, thanks for doing it. If you could you do one more, if you guys go out this weekend and just don't. There you go. Until the next time, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.